I want to continue a series that I started last week, and you didn't have to be here last week to catch the whole thing, but I was talking about some of the prophecies about Christ, and I use this word Messiah, and every time, so if you're a kid here today, I want you to help me. I don't want you to be bored. I want you to stay focused. So JT, you got to help me out with this, buddy, okay, and all the other kids. So every time I say the word Messiah really comes from a Hebrew word that means anointed or anointed one. But we refer to the Messiah because he has a name, and we call him what? Jesus. So every time, if you're under the age of 12, and I say the word Messiah, I want you to yell out. You can yell in church. It's okay. I want you to yell the name Jesus, okay? So when I say Messiah, you say?
Jesus.
That was lame, lame, lame right there. All right. Let's start over again. Ready? Okay. So you can join him if you want. I know you're not 12, but you guys can join him. Okay, let me just say, 17 and down, right? We'll leave the adults out of this, okay? Because we got a couple of kids on the front row that helped us with worship that want to say Jesus, okay? So when I say the word Messiah, you say?
Jesus!
Okay, that was pretty good. That was not bad. Okay, boys only, under the age of 18, boys. Messiah?
Jesus!
Disappointment and sadness comes across the face. All right, let's work on that. Girls under the age of 18, Messiah?
Jesus!
Okay, a little out of sync, but okay, good. We just need a choir director to put that in sync. All right, so I want to talk to you today about a couple of the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament. And it's really weird to think about the fact that 700 plus years before Jesus came, people were talking about him coming, and they were very specific about what he was going to do. And that's such an odd thing for me. That's really an odd thing. So let me just share with you today, there's about 176 chairs, or there were, in this room before y'all came, and now we've added a few, but there were about 176 chairs in here. So I did the math on this week so that you could hear this. Here's the chances of every one of the 330-plus prophecies of Jesus coming true. There were over 330 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, some of them as far as 700 years prior to his birth. That's a long time. Here's the chances of it happening. The chances of that happening are me picking one seat in the auditorium and then picking a person's name and saying, they're going to sit in this seat. But that's not enough because that's only one in as many chairs. We have 88 chairs on each side, so 176 chairs. That's only one in 176 chairs. It's saying this person's going to sit here today and these are the socks they're going to wear. And as this person sits in this chair today with this color socks on, they're also going to have this color shirt on. And this is the color pants they'll be wearing today, and this is the belt they'll be wearing. And let me tell you what else. Every other person in that row, I'm going to name them all before anybody gets here. What are the chances of that happening today? None. I couldn't do it. No one could do that. But yet they prophesied about the Messiah. That was so lame. Caught him off guard. They prophesied about the Messiah.
Jesus.
Okay. So the first prophecy I want to talk to you about is the fact that the Messiah will come from the line of Abraham. In other words, Abraham is his great, 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 great grandfather. And we'll talk about that in a second. Let me give you the Old Testament reference to this where it was prophesied in the book of Genesis. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says this. This is what they call the Abrahamic covenant or the deal that God made with a guy named Abraham. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, this is before he got his name switched to Abraham. You ever change your name to something? Abraham was one of the kids that changed his name. So he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father and your house and your land that I will show you. In other words, I want you to leave everything that you're comfortable with, and I'm going to make of you a really great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, here's the promise. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed because of one man's obedience. See, the Messiah was going to come from the line of Abraham. So the New Testament fulfillment of that, a guy named Matthew. Matthew was one of the four gospel writers. He was a Jew, and he walked with Jesus. And Matthew writes down the record of what happened, and he writes this down. So what he does is this is like the this is like y'all heard of ancestry.com. This is like the OG ancestry.com right here in Matthew chapter 1. And he goes through all the lines and then he gives a summary statement at the end. And he says this in chapter 1 verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And then from David to the deportation in Babylon, or the exile to Babylon, was another 14 generations. And then from the deportation to Babylon to Christ was 14 generations. That's 42 generations deep. What are the chances of prophesying that Jesus would be born from 42 generations ago? I mean, if you're lucky, your family tree goes back 3, 4, 5 generations from you right now, right? You might be able to trace that. I can't. I've got one generation. I know who my father is. Beyond that, I have no idea who they are. No idea. They came from Hungary. They were immigrants to the United States. A couple generations before me, and that's all I know. This is 42 generations that was prophesied the Messiah. So we got an older person doing it. Older, not old. That ER makes a big difference. Older. So the Messiah was prophesied about 42 generations before. So let me give you another biblical prophecy. So it says the Messiah's throne will be eternal. Now, this has never happened in human history before. There's never been a kingdom that didn't get toppled or ended or had a closure date or get conquered. But yet this prophecy, we're going to look in the book of Daniel, this prophecy was about a kingdom that was never going to end. Now, have you ever heard of that before, that there was a nation or a kingdom or a people that just never got conquered? No, it's never happened. But this prophecy is about that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break into pieces all these kingdoms and bring them into an end, and it shall be forever. That's a big prophecy right there. Because as soon as that kingdom ends, you're done. You were a liar. It didn't happen. And so far in human history, there has never been a kingdom or a people or a government that had lasted. They had all been conquered. So this prophecy was a big deal. So the gospel writer Luke, Dr. Luke, says this in chapter 1 and verse 30. He says, the angel said to her, this is Mary he's talking to, you know, Mary, Jesus' mom. He says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. I don't know where else you would conceive. There's no other place to conceive but your womb. And bear a son, and you shall call his name Messiah.
Jesus.
That's it. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. This is the cool part right here. This is about that prophecy that we just read. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That was in his bloodline. And his kingdom there will be no end. And the response to this, Mary says, yeah, go ahead. In verse 30, if you look down Luke 1:38, Mary says, yep, as you say it will be. I want to do that. So let me talk to you about a couple of things that I think are really important. I'm going to unfold something, and then I want to have some fun with it for a little while before we go, okay? I want to talk about the idea, the marriage between prophecy and divine intervention. Prophecy and divine intervention. Now, divine intervention, actually, let me chat with you about that right now, because we're going to have a little fun with that right now with the kids and the adults that have a good memory. If you don't have a good memory, just mumble and look really smart while you're mumbling, okay? So it's like singing a song that you don't know the words to. Just keep saying something that looks like you're saying the words. So I want to have some fun with the kids. This is a definition of divine intervention. Divine intervention is God. Oh, let me get my eraser because I'm going to need that. God doing something he was going to do all along, and he called us to be a part, to participate in it. That's divine intervention, all right? So say it with me out loud. I'll try and say it with a rhythm so we can all say it. Ready? Divine intervention is this: God doing something he was going to do all along and called us to participate in it. You got that? All right, we're going to get rid of the big words first. Here we go. We're just going to get rid of them, all right? Something, that's kind of a bigger word. Okay, all right, let's try it again. Divine intervention, because I want you to get this. This is crazy important. You're going to see this in a minute. I'm going to connect the dots, even for you people that are over 12. So God doing, he was going to do all along and calling us to. Okay, we know who's doing it, right? All right. Let's see how we do with this. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, ready? Divine intervention is? All right. People, get it together. When we're singing a song, we all sing together. Dave, you may have to come up and lead us on this. There's a rhythm to it. There's a little bit of flow, okay? You're bringing out my feminine side. Don't do that to me. Okay, all right, don't do that. I'll lose my man card. All right, ready? Divine intervention is this. All right, you're kind of gelling now. You're getting there. It's early, I know, and we're still thinking about Christmas cookies and stuff, but we're getting there, okay? My eraser's not working really well, so you got a little cheat sheet if you look really close and squint. Okay, ready? Divine intervention. All right. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. Divine intervention is this. So why don't you tell me what divine intervention is? There were so many Manili Manilis out there right now. I just watched it. You were just going, nom, 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 watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. For the rest of you, congratulations. You just learned something new today, divine intervention. I'm going to ask you about that again in just a few moments, okay? So I want you to get that. I wasn't just playing with you like it was like insulting your intelligence. My heart is that you get this. This, the idea of the concept of divine intervention and us understanding it as we go through every little thing that we go through in life, every little thing, the flat tire on the side of the road, the stubbed toe, the spilled milk, all of those things are part of God's plan. It's God doing something. It's our reaction to that that allows us to either continue to participate in this plan or get benched. Because God is still going to accomplish his will, and I hate to say this, but the truth is, with or without us. God's looking for willing participants in his plan. So we'll come back to that in just a minute. Let me share with you a thought that I had before we go to the divine intervention. I want to explain it and illustrate it to you if I can. So as I talk about this idea of prophecy, biblical prophecy and divine intervention, how they come together, you and I are living out a part of biblical prophecy right now, whether you know it or not. You're living in a time when biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. We saw it back in the late 1940s when the nation of Israel was prophesied to be a nation, and boom, it's on the map again. And then from then, there's been a number of biblical prophecies that have been fulfilled. Global communication is a biblical prophecy. It's part of what Scripture, it has to happen before Christ's return. And there's so many other details that have to happen before Christ's return. The diminishment of natural resources, that has to happen. We're starting to see that happening. We're going exploring in offshore, way deep offshore oil drilling, and we're looking for natural gas reserves. All those things are a part of biblical prophecy being fulfilled. Nation rising against nation, wars, rumors of wars, it's all part of biblical prophecy. And what is biblical prophecy again? What is it? God. All right. There's a level of sharpness today. I like that. That is really good. I wouldn't say that it's all pervasive, but it's okay. It's pretty good. So I want to ask a couple of young people here today to participate. Right? That's what we do. Divine intervention. And I want to illustrate this to you today. So I've got a couple of young kids that I'd like to snag them and bring them up here if I can. And I'd like them to participate in what we're doing today. So let me see if I can find them here. Are they here? Moms, where are you? The moms that I talked to. Yeah. Where are we? Right there. Hey, could I steal you? Could I have you? Yeah, you. And you. Can I have you? You're going to love it. It's divine intervention. Come on. Come right on up. We're going to have some fun. And hi. How are you? I'm Scott, and I really like your dress. Not that I want to steal it or anything like that, but I do like it. Could I borrow you? Would you come and help me? Thank you. Come on up. Are we good? So tell everybody your name.
Rocco.
And tell everybody your name.
Abby.
This is Abby and Rocco right here. And I want to talk about divine intervention. Now, I'm not going to ask you to say that whole thing. I won't ask you to do that, all right? You, I'm going to ask you to do that. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to ask you to do it. It's okay. Thank you for coming up here today. So Rocco and Abby are part of our children's ministry in our church, and they are well loved, and they participate regularly in children's ministry, and I'm so happy to have you both here today. So Rocco, I want you to go over that Christmas tree right there, and I want you to grab that present right there that you think looks pretty good. Want me to go over with you? Yeah, come on. You stay here for a sec, Abby. I'll be right back. What do you think? Want to grab that one? Snag it. Just take it over with you. Abby, come on over. How about that pretty little gold one? Does that look good? Okay, come on back here. All right. So, you know what I'm thinking? Divine intervention is God doing something, right? And he wants us to participate. These guys have participated so far, haven't they? And you know what the cool thing about God is that when we choose to participate in his plan, he blesses us. He gives us something that we didn't deserve and we didn't even know we wanted sometimes. So ladies before gentlemen, would you open your gift right now in front of us all? Go right ahead. Want me to help you? Let me help you with it. I'll help you. There's a pretty bow on top. You got to pull the bow. Give it a pull. All right. Now you got to take off this little Santa thing here. There we go. We'll put him right here. All right. Go ahead. Let's do this together. The cool thing about God is he knows what we want more than we even know ourselves. All right. You can go have a seat. Thank you for being a... You can leave your wrapper here. You can take that with you. Now you're thinking, what's going on next, all right? All right, let's go, man. Let's get to it. I know, ribbon is tough. Here, you got to face everybody. I know, awkward, right? Opening the present. You're going to be excited. Does he open this slow at home? Because when I was a kid, paper was just annoying. It was just in my way. All right, let me help you out with it. Leave that. Leave it. It's okay. It's all good. Now, there's tape on this, so we'll pop this off. Be easy. It's right there. What do you got? It's Dave and Buster's. His favorite place on the planet. Isn't it cool? Merry Christmas. Go have a seat. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild when God does that to us. When he gets the inside scoop of what we love or what we need or how we hurt and what would make it feel better. What we need to grow our faith to draw us closer to him so next time we can stand tall during that crisis and not bend under lack of faith or fact that we think we're alone. See, I know that was for the kids, but it wasn't. It was for you. See, when God's doing something, he wants you to participate in it. You look down through Scripture, and I know everybody knows Scripture at a different level, but it's pretty amazing when we look through Scripture and we see people like Abraham. Abraham had to leave everything because divine intervention had just come into his life. He says, you're going to leave your family, you're going to leave your country, you're going to leave your farms, you're going to leave everything. I got something for you, and you got to go. And I'm looking for somebody to participate. Would you like to? And Abraham said, what? Yeah. Then there's this guy named Moses, right? I need somebody to get 600,000 people through 40 years of desert. Nobody can live out there. I need somebody to lead this charge. It's an impossible task. I need an impossible man. And he got Moses. Moses was a hothead. He was stubborn as all get out. Know anybody in your family like that? Moses was that guy. And you know what he did? He took Moses and he prophesied about him, and then he had divine intervention, and he kept 600,000 people alive for 40 years in a place that no one could survive. And you get a guy like Noah. The Bible says he was righteous. Prophecy about global destruction, it was already there. It was already on the table. Everybody knew it was coming. Noah just didn't know he was the guy. And God says, hey, I want you to build a boat, a really big one. It's going to take a long time, like over 100 years. And then I'm going to make that sucker float. You think Noah could have built a boat over 120 years and it didn't leak? Of course it would have leaked. Divine intervention made it float. He kept it from hitting the mountains on the way off, on the lift, and he kept it from tipping over, and he kept all the animals calm when they were in there. In fact, he brought all the animals to the boat. It was divine intervention. It happens all the time in our lives. We just don't see it. We take it for granted. We think it's like good luck or karma. No, it's God. It's God looking at you saying, I'm working in your life in a way. Sometimes divine intervention is kicking your butt when you're arrogant or you're cocky or you walk away from God. And God says, I have something I want you to pay attention to here, so I'm going to put you on your back so the only place you can look is up. That's divine intervention. So I wonder, thinking about this now, if you and I will look at situations a little bit differently than we have in the past. Both the difficult things that happened that were like, why me? And the things that are like, you know, when Ed McMahon shows up at your house. Well, if you're under 30, you don't even know what that means, okay? See, God is trying to work with willing participants. The only question is, are you willing? And whatever he does, he does. So let me go back to the verse that if you know one verse in all of Scripture, if you know one, this is the one that you know. Well, maybe Jesus wept, right? John 11:35. Other than Jesus wept, which is the shortest verse in the Bible, this is the verse that you know. And it actually speaks about divine intervention. Third gospel, third chapter. For God so what? He loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Man was on his way. Mankind was on their way to hell. And divine intervention stepped in and said, here's an option. Take the exit. Take the exit. Those things happen all the time in our lives. And we write them off as happenstance or good luck or bad luck. It's not at all. It's God saying, I love you. I want your attention. I have a task for you to do on earth, and I want to spend eternity with you because you're my kid and I love you. Now, granted, sometimes in life, you look up and you're like, really? 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 Yep, there are those times. I've had my kids look at me like that when I discipline them sometimes for doing wrong. If you love me, you wouldn't spank my bottom or you wouldn't make me go to my room. No, I love you. That's why I am doing that, because I want your attention. There's a bigger plan for your life than you doing what you want to do all the time. You were created for a purpose. You were created for greatness. That's what divine intervention is all about. So the next time you see a live birth in your family and you smile and all is well, it's divine intervention that allowed that child to be born. The next time you get a call and hear that one of your kids hit a tree with their car, it's divine intervention. God has a plan. He's working through this, even through pain and difficulty. When you get that letter from an attorney in the mail and it changes the course of your entire life, it's divine intervention. God has a plan. Even when it doesn't feel warm and fuzzy at the moment, God has a plan. Had a conversation yesterday with a dear friend of mine. Wonderful man. He said, Pastor, I need you to pray. I've had some testing done. Doesn't look good. I'm not going to get treatment. I think I'll just call it. Dear friend of mine. This was yesterday. But he says, no matter what happens, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He gets it. He actually gets it. I got off the phone with him, and I'm like, man, he schooled me. He just schooled me on that one. I thought I had faith till I talked to him, and now I feel like I'm an idiot because I'm not going through what he's going through. But it's divine intervention. So I want you to be able to leave here today and know that whatever happens in your life, if you're a Christ follower, it's divine intervention. And if you're not a Christ follower, it's still divine intervention because God wants to call everyone to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. So before the kids get crazy, I want to close here.